It was on a Saturday in September that Dave and Morley sat eating breakfast, and Morley looked at the toaster and said it would work so much better if we could plug it in at the table so we wouldn't have to get up and walk across the kitchen every time someone wanted toast. It was just an idle thought, but it struck her as a good one. So then she said, maybe we should get someone in to move it. The next morning, Dave was sitting alone at the breakfast table looking at the toaster on the other side of the kitchen thinking, I should move the plug myself. Morley was at work. They were opening a new play. The kids were still asleep. Dave had the whole day stretched out before him like a white line running down the center of a highway. How complicated could it be for an old roadie? How complicated could it be for an old roadie to run some wires through a wall and install a plug? The more he thought about it, the more he liked the idea, and what he liked best of all was that he would get to knock holes in the kitchen wall. It felt good just thinking about that. Dave fetched a hammer from the basement, and then, like a Spanish conquistador, sealing the fate of his troops by burning his ship as soon as his last man stepped on shore, Dave raised the hammer over his head and swung it at the wall with all his might. Hi-ya! The hammer sunk into the wall with a pleasing thump. A few more quick swings and Dave had a hole the size of a melon. He stood back and admired it. And then he wondered where the wires were going to come from. He thought maybe he should check his big Reader's Digest book of home repairs. He knew he could probably figure this out without the Reader's Digest's help, but there could be no harm in checking. The book wasn't upstairs. It wasn't downstairs either. It wasn't anywhere. He wondered if Jim Schofield, his neighbor, had his repair book. He glanced at the kitchen clock. Jim was the kind of neighbor you visited rather than phoned. I don't have your book, said Jim, but I have a new mallet. I can't believe you started without me. Let me go get it. Jim and Dave stared at the hole where Dave wanted to put the new plug. Where's the wire coming from, asked Jim. That's what I was wondering, said Dave. Jim pointed at a light switch by the back door. There'd be wire over there we could patch into, he said. And then he smiled. Of course, he said, we'll have to punch a hole in the wall to pick it up. Jim was fiddling with his new mallet. Be my guest, said Dave. Are you sure, said Jim, moving towards the back wall, not waiting for an answer. There were wires there. In fact, when Jim stepped back and they both peeked in his hole, wires were about all they could see. All sorts of wires. Black, shiny wires, gray, cloth-covered wires. Jim pointed at a gray wire running through a porcelain insulator. Knob and tube, said Jim. I didn't think that stuff was legal anymore. Oh, those aren't live, said Dave. I had an electrician in to replace all that a couple of years ago. Dave reached into the hole with a screwdriver and jiggled the old wire. There was a sudden puff of smoke. And Dave gasps and the right side of his body jerks spastically and a deep alien-like moan rolls out of him. And the screwdriver's flying across the kitchen. End over end, like a tomahawk, ricocheting off the kitchen sink and disappearing through the window. There was a moment of stunned silence, Jim and Dave both staring at the broken window, shards of glass tinkling to the floor. Could you do that again, says Jim. I like the way the chip of porcelain from the sink followed the screwdriver through the window. A minute later, Bert Turlington, who lives next door, is ringing the front doorbell. Standing on the stoop with Dave's screwdriver in his hand. This yours, he asked. We're moving some wires, says Dave. I got a shock. You're moving wires, says Bert. I got one of those power drills for my birthday. Maybe I should bring it over. Something inexplicable happens when a man picks up a tool to do home repairs. Some force is yet undescribed by science, but nevertheless well known to women. It's a force that lures men away from their families and the things they're supposed to be doing to a place where hammers are being swung. Maybe the act of a hammer moving through the air sets off a cosmic thrumming only men can hear. Or maybe when a man picks up a screwdriver, he releases an odor only men with tools can smell. It's a musty, yeasty, sweet sort of smell. With a hint of leather and WD-40. And men in their backyards raking leaves, and men in their basements listening to ball games on portable radios are seized by this odor only they can smell. It seizes them like the urge to migrate seizes lesser species. And suddenly they're thinking, I don't belong here anymore. I belong in another place, and I should be doing something else, and I should take my coping saw with me just in case. Men can sense it when a wall is coming down, and they can't help the fact that they have to be there to watch it fall, or better yet, help push it over. It's been argued that the fall of the Berlin Wall had nothing whatsoever to do with the collapse of communism. It was just a weekend project that got out of control. Carl Lohbier was the next neighbor to arrive at Dave's house on that Saturday we're talking about. He burst through the front door without knocking. Dave and Jim looked up, and he's standing in the kitchen. Hi, said Carl, trying to slow himself down, trying to act nonchalant. Need any help? He's carrying a bright yellow thing about the size of an electric drill, except more dangerous looking. It looks like a cross between an Uzi and a woodpecker. It's his reciprocal saw. Carl got the saw last Christmas. It's his pride and joy, but there are only so many holes a man can cut in his own house before he is told to stop. At the end of August, when Carl's wife, Gerda, went downstairs with a load of laundry and found Carl cutting random holes in a sheet of plywood, she took the saw away from him, and later she said he could have it back if he stood in front of the house on Saturday mornings with a sign around his neck, "Need holes cut." By noon, there were 7 men in Dave's kitchen. 2 of them friends of Jim Schofield, who Dave had never met before. Guys with tools. There were now a series of 12 melon-sized holes punched in the kitchen wall at 2-foot intervals, leading from the light switch by the back door to the hole where Dave intended to install the plug for the toaster. 12 holes and 7 busy men. Jim and Dave routering putty out of the broken window. Phil Harrison sucking up plaster dust with Carl Lohbier's shop vac. The 2 men Dave didn't know racing a pair of belt sanders along the floor. 6 power tools operating at the same time in Dave's house. Sam arrived downstairs, rubbing his eyes, taking in the chaos of his kitchen, and asking the most reasonable question. What's for breakfast? Toast, said Dave. He said this without turning the router off or even turning around. Sam stared at his father's back for a moment, and then he shrugged and dropped a couple of slices of bread in the toaster. Then the lights went out, and the tools died. And in the sudden and overwhelming silence, someone, Bert Turlington, I think, said, "Do you smell that?" And then there was smoke hanging in the air, like wisps of fog. And someone said, "We overloaded the wires. The wires are burning. Cut the wall open over here." And Carl Lowbeer jumped up and said, "My saw works on batteries." And he lurched toward the wall, revving his reciprocal saw in front of him. And before anyone could stop him, Carl had cut a hole in the wall the size of a loaf of bread. "Not there," said Bert Turlington. "Here." "Coming, coming," said Carl, moving around the kitchen like a mass murderer, cutting a second hole 5 feet down the wall. Sam's eyes as wide as saucers. "I've got a fire extinguisher in the truck," said one of the men Dave didn't know. They found the remnants of the fire with the third hole, a mouse nest leaning against the overheated wires. It had burned itself out. The man with a fire extinguisher gave it a blast, just in case. At 12:15, Dave took stock of what they had accomplished. The broken window, the chipped sink, 15 holes, the sodden plaster where they had used the extinguisher. Arnie Schellenberger looked at Dave and said, "Dave, when's Morley coming home?" Dave said, "Not until tonight, not until 10, 11. Arnie said, "There's an electrician I know from the plant. He might come over. If you did the window, he could do the wiring and we could patch the holes by." He looked at his wrist. 10? "You need this done fast, right?" Dave nodded. The electrician pointed to the back wall of Dave's kitchen. "We're going to pop out the drywall. We're going to take that wall down to the studs. That way I can get at everything at once." Dave was looking worried. "It'll be the fastest," said the electrician. He looked at Carl, cut around the top of the ceiling and along the baseboard, and we'll pop it out, nice and simple. Carl was beaming. Morley came home soon after 9. When she turned onto their street, she noticed her house looked strangely dark. She pulled into the driveway and parked the car and gathered an armful of junk, her purse, a sweater, some files. She headed toward the back door. She was exhausted. She dropped a file and stooped to pick it up, and it was only then that she noticed the warm glow of candles flickering through the back window. And she felt a wave of affection roll over her. Dave had made a romantic meal. She had barely eaten all day. She was smiling as she opened the back door. She put her purse down and called hello, and then she stopped dead in her tracks. Sometimes you're confronted by things that are so far from what you expect that there's a momentary disconnect. Your brain is unable to process what it is looking at. Morley looked around her kitchen. There were candles everywhere, and flashlights and snake lights and men. There were 4 men in her kitchen, all of them on their hands and knees. 4 strangers on their hands and knees staring at her the way a family of raccoons might stare at you from your back deck. As her eyes adjusted to the light, she was able to take in more details. The men were holding tools. There was a pile of pizza boxes on the floor and an empty case of beer, and Sam, her son Sam, sprawled out beside the pizza boxes asleep. Her son passed out. This was her kitchen. But 2 of the walls were missing. She looked at the men again. One of them stood up. "Hi, I'm Ted," he said. "The electrician. We'll have this cleared up in just a minute or two." And then she saw Dave, her husband, crawling towards her across what was left of her kitchen. He stopped about 10 feet away. "Hi," he said. And then he waved his arm around the room at the broken window, at the 15 holes in the wall, at the back wall, which had completely disappeared, and he said, "We're fixing the toaster." Morley's mouth opened, but no words came out. It closed and then it opened again. She seemed to be trying to say something. Dave nodded, trying to encourage her like they were playing charades. Her mouth kept opening and closing, but no sound came out. And then without saying anything, not one word, Morley turned around and walked out of the house and got in her car and backed out of the driveway. And Dave said, "It's okay, she'll be back in a minute." And Bert said, I think I should be going. And Carl said, "Me too." And Dave said, maybe if we could just get the power on. Morley wasn't back in a minute. She wasn't back for nearly an hour. When she returned, she walked across the kitchen and opened the freezer door, and about a cup of water trickled onto the floor. And she let out a muffled sob. Dave helped her empty the freezer, and they deposited plastic bags of food in an assortment of neighborhood fridges. "They're all within easy walking distance," Dave pointed out helpfully. The renovation took 6 weeks to finish. Dave worked on it alone until the middle of the next week. Everything seemed to be working fine until Sam came home from school and showed them how he could turn the microwave on with a TV remote. So they called in an electrician to finish the job, a methodical and trustworthy man. It was the electrician who spotted the lead pipes running into the upstairs bathroom. And he said, "If you want to have them replaced, you might as well do it while you have the walls down." So they had the plumbers in and had the entire upstairs bathroom redone. And downstairs where the back wall was, Morley had one of those bay windows put in, which is something she's always wanted. And she has a herb garden going in the window space. Dave was admiring the plants the other evening, standing in the window and looking out into the yard, admiring the new view. It's a beautiful window, and he likes it, especially in the morning when the light is soft. Last Saturday, Dave and Morley were sitting in the kitchen, drinking coffee and reading the paper, and the kids were still in bed, and it was lovely to be there together. The sun drifting down on the coriander, Morley sipping her coffee, and then standing up and walking over to the counter to make some toast. "Don't you think it would work better if we could plug it in at the table?" So we wouldn't have to get up and walk across the kitchen every time someone wanted to use the toaster. Thank you.